Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we invite you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road. And if you can't worship, come and worship with us in person at 9 a.m. You can worship with us live streaming, at the same time chatting with people, getting prayer concerns answered. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and worship with us. If you can't worship with us, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch the YouTubes of either the complete worship service or just the message, weekly message, or the weekly children's message. We're going to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've titled this Resurrection Reminders. I love 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. We're going to spend some time there. And we're going to talk about Corinthians, Paul's message to the Corinthians. And it comes at towards the end of his third missionary journey. Paul had spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus and wrote this letter to the church in Corinth about 55 AD. Corinth was a major metropolitan city with major trade routes running through it. At the time of the writing of this letter, Corinth was filled with idolatry and immorality. Paul had established the church in Corinth on his second missionary journey, and the church in Corinth was now having difficulties. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth is a letter of instruction and teaching. Paul wrote instructions on marriage, Christian freedom, worship, and my personal favorite is the instruction on the resurrection. Well, today we're going to turn our attention to Paul's instruction on the resurrection. Before we turn to Paul's instructions on the resurrection, let us come before the Lord of the resurrection in a moment of prayer. Lord, you promise us that you will be with us always until the end of the age. Today we ask that you open the scriptures to us and let our hearts be strangely warmed by the truth of your resurrection. Lord God of all creation, create in us a clean heart. Fill us to overflowing with the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what we are experiencing today, help us to know that you are with us. Amen. Before I begin to read this passage, I'd ask that you would put yourself into this story. Perhaps you're a member of the early church in Corinth who is reading this letter or hearing it for the first time. The people are gathered around, probably in a house church, to hear this reading. What would you be thinking? How would you be feeling when Paul wants to talk about the resurrection? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Well, I'm going to take a deep breath. I've been doing a lot of thinking about the church over the past year, not just the Seed Christian Fellowship. I've been thinking about the church universal. I really don't want to bore you too much with statistics and numbers today, but my first degree from college, I got a degree way back then with a bachelor's degree in business and a minor in accounting. To be honest with you, I love to work with numbers. The funny thing is that God called me out of the business world, counting and looking at financial reports, to counting sheep. No longer do I count sins either. Forgiving and forgetting instead of logging all the hurts, sins, and betrayals on the ledger sheet in my way of living. Well, you know, the other day I was reading recent numbers on the church and church membership in America. A recent Gallup poll shows that the church membership in America has dropped to below 50% for the first time in 8 decades. Now, if you're counting, that's 80 years. Church membership has dropped to less than 50%, the lowest number in 80 years. Today, church membership in local congregations stands at 47%, when back in 1999, just 22 years ago, church membership was 70%. It went from 70% to 47%. Gallup's report says that, quote, the decline in church membership is primarily a function of the increasing number of Americans who express no religious preference. Do you know those forms at hospitals and other places that you have to fill out and you're supposed to put in your religious preference and the box is marked, there's a place that you can mark none, N-O-N-E, none? Well, I'm going to tell you today, the nuns have it. George Barna, as a Christian researcher, his organization did some research on the meaning of Easter. And here are some of the things they found. Within the religious definitions offered by Americans, there are a certain degree of confusion about Easter. 2% of Americans said that Easter is about the birth of Christ. 2% said that Easter is about the birth of Christ. Another 2% indicated it was about the rebirth of Christ. And 1% said it's a celebration of the second coming of Jesus. Not included in this theistic category was another 3% who described Easter as a celebration of a spring or pagan holiday. And on the non-religious side, 13% of the respondents said that they're not sure how to describe Easter, and only 8% said that Easter had this meaning about to celebrate eggs or getting together with family and friends. Or 3% said it was for a spring break. 2% said it was a symbol of new beginnings and rebirth and a time to dye eggs. Or an event to have children have fun. Or 1% said Easter is about the Easter Bunny. An occasion that's just way too commercialized. What I found most interesting is how unchurched people view Easter. In terms of the audience that most Christian churches attempt to attract on Easter weekend, non-church-going adults, the research shows that while 40% of the unchurched adults view the meaning of Easter to be religious, just 25% connect the holiday to Jesus' return to life, the resurrection. Well, friends, if you're a member of a church, we have a job to do. We have a job. We need to do a better job of proclaiming Easter. Well, I think it sounds like we're living in Corinth. Oh, maybe we're living in LA or San Diego or other metropolitan cities. Paul writes these words, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand." Paul wants to encourage the church. Now, we are the church, friends. He wants to encourage the church. He wants them to remember. remember the gospel. The Greek word for gospel is euligan, which means good news, and it's the word from which we get evangelism. So what is the good news? Better yet, what is it that you will take a stand on? Maybe that's a better question for you. What are you standing on? Do you know that the Protestant church became protestare, and the Latin protestare means to stand for something, not stand against something. But what my question, Paul says that you're going to take your stand on. So my question is, what is it that you're going to take your stand on? What do you believe? What is it that you are willing to hold on to no matter what? Yeah, I'm pausing. I want you to consider that. What are you going to hold on to? When Billy Graham was preaching in Germany one day, German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer invited him to his office, and coffee was served. But before Billy's first sip, Chancellor Konrad started in. He said, "Young man, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?" "I most certainly do," Billy replied. "So do I," Chancellor Konrad said. "If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, there is not one glimmer of hope for the human race." Wow. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, this German chancellor said, there's no hope for the human race. "When I leave office," Chancellor Konrad said, "I'm going to spend the rest of my life studying and writing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most important event in human history." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing that you're going to take your stand on? Jasroff Pelikan, an American scholar, said, "If Christ is risen, then nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, well, then nothing else matters either." Timothy Keller, a pastor, a teacher, a scholar, wrote these words, "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he did not rise from the dead, why worry about anything that he said?" So, maybe a so what? What do you believe? What are you going to take your stand on? Paul wanted the early church to take a stand and remember the good news. In Paul's day, being a Christian was more than some intellectual assent to a group of doctrines. The social price that followers of Christ paid forced them to take a stand in a hostile world. I think we can learn a little from Paul as we go through this worldwide pandemic called COVID-19. With all the news that we are bombarded with 24 hours a day, what is the good news? What is it that you can take your stand on? I'd encourage you now to, well, turn your TVs off. I'd tell you to turn the radio off, but you're listening. Don't turn the radio off yet. Listen to the good news. Get your Bible open. Paul says, "I want to pass on to you of first importance." Listen to Paul. He says, "We stand on the hope and the power of the resurrection." Paul puts it this way, "By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." I don't know what you're believing today. There is so much out there. The news is bombarding you with, overwhelming you with bad news. But I want you to have some good news. We have hope. We have the power of the resurrection. Salvation comes through belief in the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. We could talk about all the passages that teach us that when we believe on or in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life, like John 3:16. My favorite verse in Paul's letter says, But what does it say? He says, what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. This is Romans 10:9-10. Pretty simple. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Boy, I'd go grab your Bibles, Romans 10:8-13. If you trust in him, you'll never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the Greek word for everyone is panta, P-A-N-T-A, and it means everyone or all. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and you'll be saved. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how dark it is for you right now. But I can tell you, Jesus Christ will bring you light. He'll bring you hope. He'll bring you healing. Call on his name. Ask him to come into your hearts. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and ask him to be Lord. It says, everyone who confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. We're living in a time when we need to stop and remember where our North Star is. What is our center point of faith? What are we standing on? Are we standing on the next news clip that's coming off the TV screen? That the next variant of COVID-19 is coming? No. We need to stand on the hope and the power of the resurrection. We are so afraid of dying that we're afraid of living. Stop worrying about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. That's what the scriptures say. But stand on the hope and the power of the resurrection. Paul says in this passage in Corinthians 15:3-6, he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:3-6. What was the most important thing that Paul had? Better yet, what's the most important thing that you have? What is the most important thing you own? What is the most important thing that you're going to hold on to? Paul used this same language in chapter 11 when he talked about the Lord's Supper. He says, I have received from the Lord what I want to pass on to you. Well, my question to you is, what have you received from the Lord? And what is it that you want to pass on? It says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good person, a righteous person, leaves an inheritance to his or her children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Do you know that when it's talking about that in Proverbs 13, the writer of Proverbs 13 was not talking about wealth and land. I believe he was talking about a legacy. What is the legacy that you're going to leave? What is the legacy of faith, hope, and love that you have? Is it grounded in the hope and the power of the resurrection? So what is it that you have received? What is it that you want to pass on? For Paul, it was the hope, power, and joy of the resurrection. Just the other day, one of my grandchildren had their first communion. It was a happy day as our daughter and family celebrated. And after church, we ate a homemade spaghetti dinner and then went mini golfing at Mulligan's down in Murrieta. Have you ever taken 9 children mini golfing? My daughter and her husband took the 3 boys, and my wife and I took the 6 little grand girls. And after the first round, we went to the snack bar to get treats. We were all sitting there enjoying the shade, and my wife asked the girls a funny question. Here's the question. If you're stuck on a deserted island, who would you want, Grammy or Pawpaw? They call me Pawpaw. They call my wife Grammy. And, of course, the obvious answer would be Pawpaw, they said. So when they started to answer my wife's question, and she sweetened the pot, but what if Grammy had a flashlight, a lighter, a tent, a blanket, to which the six girls still kept answering Pawpaw? Then she said, Grammy has a cell phone that works in a boat. And one of the girls said, Grammy, tell us if you have Pawpaw and we'll go with you. So you see, they have a lifelong legacy of my love to them. Finally, my wife finally asked them, who would you want to be with you? They all just laughed and they said, Pawpaw. Well, I've spent time with my grandchildren, my granddaughters, all six of them. And they've learned that I love them, that I'm going to be there for them, that I'm going to protect them. The question Paul is proposing sounds a lot like that question. You're on a deserted island. I'm going to ask you right now. You're on a deserted island. You have a choice, the world or the risen Christ. The world offers us so much. Christ offers us so much more. Paul is telling us that the resurrection is the only thing that matters. Do you believe that? John Stott, a wonderful pastor and teacher, wrote these words about the resurrection of Christ. He said, quote, "The resurrection somehow resonates with our human condition. It speaks to our needs as I reckon no other event of antiquity does or even could." In other words, it is not up to us to make the resurrection relevant, friends. It's already relevant without us. We just need to proclaim it and apply it with joy and confidence. Paul's resurrection, or Christ's resurrection from the dead, is not just an idea, a concept, or a doctrine. Although it is truly a breathtaking and revolutionary doctrine, the resurrection of Jesus is the power that will usher broken, fragile humanity into Christ's newness of life. And Christ just ended the gospel, the good news of Matthew, with these wonderful words, "I'll be with you always till the very end of the age." Those are some powerful words. Where are you in the story? Paul is writing this letter to his friends and family in the church at Corinth. Evil abounds everywhere. The world is calling every day. Imagine receiving an email or a text from Paul right now in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Put your name in there. Every day I go and spend time with my father-in-law, whom I call Dad. He's 89 and slowly fading away with dementia and Alzheimer's. Every day he says to my wife and I haven't seen my wife in a long time. She must be dead. I just can't believe that she's gone. His wife was, they were married 71 years. But every time I tell him, I get to tell him about that. I get to talk to him about the heaven and forgiveness and the resurrection. Here's your so what. If you're on a deserted island, the world is on one side calling your name, offering you trinkets of fame, gold, and fortune, and on the other side stands the risen Christ calling your name. What's the legacy that you want to leave today? That's my question to you. Do you know which side you're standing on? I do. The former accountant is not counting the world's numbers anymore. I'm counting on Christ. And who are you counting on? Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the power and the hope of the resurrection. Be with us today so we can take our stand in that hope, and in that power. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.